to live righteously. It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's episode number 368, wherein it's articles of news, wherein we introduce a new character. It's not new to, like, you know, the podcast sphere, but certainly new, not even to the Cultural Hall. Why am I giving it that introduction? Kurt Frankum, good to have you here.
Hey, good. This is like when the Flintstones showed up on the Jetsons.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's one of those combining of universes.
So are you from the past or are you from the future?
I do the podcast for old people.
Okay, so the past. And also Annette Lyon.
Hello.
Annette Luthy Lyon, everyone.
That's me. Yeah. It's a crossover episode is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Get used to Kurt Frankum. He and I are going on a church history tour later this year.
I meant to mention that in our interview.
You're going
to
hear a lot of Kurt
Frankum.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
I hope it's awesome.
It better be awesome.
The church history tour will be awesome. And there are still, as of this recording, slots open for both tours. You can go to KimuraTours.org and be able to find out all about the itinerary. There is the one that we're going on, which is the 16th through the 24th of July. And then there is another one that's the week before, and you can bring your whole family. And they many more slots over there, but they had a couple open up for the 16th through the 24th. You can come meet Kurt's parents.
That's
and
right.
My parents. I hope our parents are friends.
I know.
If
I
they
think
don't,
they'll get along.
If they don't like each other, man, that's going to be... Like,
awkward.
What's your dad's name?
Rick.
Rick? Yeah, that's a great name.
That's a good name.
My dad's
Rick
name's
Frankum.
Carrie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Rick Carrie and Carrie.
And Rick. Yeah, can we break up Rick and Carrie?
Yeah, where are they?
What are they, best friends?
They're out getting
Guys,
lunch.
Get out of the Curlin Temple. Come on, we got to go. One of the great destinations. And we already have been talking about some specialty shows that we'll be doing.
What are we going to do,
from
Richie?
That. Well, I mean, we're talking
what
leadership
can you say now?
Principles.
Right.
I've got a Kirtland crazy that we're going to talk to, at least here in the Cultural Hall. He's an interesting guy, just loves everything about Kirtland, but he's a little eccentric.
Yeah.
So that should be fun.
Well, that's what I love about these doing tours like this is you can get in person with these people and interview rather, you know, doing remotely, you don't get the full character of people.
Well, and I'm looking forward to it too. I'm sure you guys are doing this on the Leading Saints Facebook page, etc. About being able to show people some of these church history sites, whether it be in a live or a video, being able to have that. So looking forward to that. Annette, you should come.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
It's not Finland, but
no.
You might like it.
Well, and actually, that was a church history tour was my daughter's big wish before her mission. So we actually did do the Illinois and Missouri area.
What'd you think?
It was awesome. It was completely awesome.
So let me
we
think. Illinois and Missouri area. So that's Nauvoo, Carthage.
Carthage.
Independence, right?
Independence, mm-hmm. Liberty Jail, all that, yeah.
And did you do a riverboat on the Mississippi?
No, we did not.
Can't do it all, Richard.
No, we drove. It was insane. It was good, but it was long.
People are sick and tired of certainly me talking about it. If they know anything about Kurt, they know he does nothing but talk about it. But what value did that have not only for your missionary daughter, but for you being able to actually go and see it? Because you don't have to. You can see a video. The church has done a bajillion videos on that stuff. What's the value in actually going and being there for you?
Well, it was kind of like when I got to visit the Holy Land, where I'm able to picture actual historical events more clearly.
Yeah.
To go, oh, okay, so this happened over here. And then and that's helpful for me to see it in my head, almost like a movie, and realize how that it's real and put, I don't know, it makes it a little more, I don't know, 3D real to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I don't know, have you ever been to the Alamo? I know it's not church related.
I remember.
Because the Alamo is one
There's
of those
no
things.
There's no basement. Did you know that?
I know. Pee-wee.
same
generation.
Thank you.
I'm a little too old for that.
But you show up to the Alamo, and it's like you sort of envision this beautiful, you know, church type building in the middle of nowhere. But no, it's like downtown San Antonio, and buildings are around it.
There's a block where it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and another cool thing for me, we got to do a session in the Nauvoo Temple.
Oh, cool.
And we also did baptisms, because we had my daughter, who's a teenager, so we wanted her to be able to experience temple work as well. So I had a friend who told me in advance to look for this, that if you on the main floor, there's a hallway by the family file office, and if you walk down there, you probably know what I'm talking about.
When I went to Nauvoo, it was closed for cleaning.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Bummer.
But they have actual artifacts there of I think it was like Emma's own temple apron and things like that are on the wall, and actual keys that were from the original Nauvoo temple doors and things like. It was way cool.
Yeah, we got to make sure we get that little stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's
just to be able to see the and just realize, you know, again the magnitude of the sacrifices those people did for us, and especially with people like me, because I don't have any pioneer blood in me.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it helps me to connect to that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Kurt, tell people what Leading Saints is in case they don't know.
Yeah. Well, so we're another podcast where we focus on helping Latter-day Saints be better prepared to lead. So we, you know, obviously we stay around topics that maybe relate more to being a bishop, relief society president, or elders quorum presidency, which why Richie never misses an episode. But
yeah, no, that's how I get my instruction.
That's
I actually
right.
stopped going to church once I found your podcast. I'm kidding. Calm down, everyone.
Anyways, but it really is, we find that any Latter-day Saint would appreciate and enjoy the content. We talk everything from how to run a meeting to how to help someone through an addiction to, you know, the dynamics of experiencing same gender attraction in the church, all that. So
yeah. Well, every member at some point will be a leader.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's for everybody.
Yeah. Or is already and doesn't recognize it.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Even without a title.
Yeah. Be
a leader, not a calling.
That's what it is.
I like that.
That's his little tagline. Do you have that on a t-shirt?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah. What's your tagline?
Why don't I have that t-shirt?
Oh, within the week, it'll be yours.
Done.
So.
My tagline is, listen, please. For the love of everything, please. It's nice. Mormon.
What about your t-shirts? Do you have t-shirts?
So all of our stuff for the Cultural Haunt, we've talked about this. And if you have a great suggestion of what we could put on a t-shirt, I'd love it. Contact at theculturalhall.com. Like, on the back row is super... like super inside, right?
Uh-huh.
Like yours, like be a leader, not the calling.
Uh-huh.
What is it?
Be a leader, not a calling.
Not uh-huh. a calling. Like that is like that would make sense on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker and be like, oh, that full conceptually, I get that message. Like on the back row doesn't, you know, that doesn't really play that well.
Yeah.
Or saving a seat for you, which is a kind of another tagline. You know, I don't know.
I do think you need to have those as well. Find something that's broader, but also something so the insiders can recognize each other.
Yeah. Sure.
That's kind
you
of
have
a cool
cult
thing.
Following.
Oh, yeah. You'll see people like, you know, bumper sticker or whatever and go, cult. Hey, I listen to.
I had a bumper sticker once upon a time that said theculturalhall.com. That was cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've thought about doing... this is terrible. I've thought about...
That's what this podcast is about, Richie.
Yeah, being terrible. You know the rosary? And how you pray the rosary or like the Our Fathers and stuff like that. Like I've thought about
myself.
I've thought about writing a rote Mormon or Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints prayer.
Oh no.
Yeah. You know, back away slowly, Richie.
Like we're thankful for this day. Please bless it. We'll travel home in safety. So part of our outro that we do on every episode, but having that within it. And I just think that people won't receive it, first of all, in the spirit which with it is, which is, guys, we don't hate this. We don't think that it's ridiculous, but we do think that like that we do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, those things have been difficult to find like a merchandise piece that says, hey, you're on the inside, but doesn't have to have a huge explanation. Yeah.
What if you had a separate, like a new shirt every year?
Listen, I'm down, but what would you put on the first?
Well, I don't know.
You know what I would do is when you go into church and you go to the Cultural Hall and it has that, the sign, the standard
but
sign.
But would you wear that t-shirt?
Yeah.
No,
I think it's,
I don't know.
Come on.
I don't know. Because so coming from a radio background, I promise we're going to get to articles of news, which is how these episodes work, which is fine, because these are always the opening exercises where we banter a bit about what's going on or things that we want to talk about. Like, working in radio, how many radio station t-shirts do you have that become your gym shirt or your cool, I got a free shirt that I'll never wear shirt, or your kid vomited all over him or herself? Put them in the radio station t-shirt that they'll never wear outside. I don't want to be a radio station t-shirt.
When I give my shirt to people, like if I give it to them for free, I'll say, I'll give you this, but you cannot paint in it. Like you have to actually wear it.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And like be a leader, not a calling. I get it.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Like that to me, it's like, okay, I can get behind that principle, just whether it be with, you know, leading saints, whether it's just being like in life, be a leader, not a calling. Got it.
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering if you can do something with the social media push, even like, you know, take a picture of yourself in your shirt and hashtag it and kind of just spread awareness.
But
what
would the shirt be? That's the thing. That's where I get caught.
Just your logo. Stuck on that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could.
I think you start with the
now.
Logo.
You start with
you
the
start
logo.
Start now
and then
you
get creative.
Every year you can come up with something.
All right.
Do
coming
it.
Next week, Richie will announce how to get a t-shirt.
We'll strong arm you.
And you know who I'm going to start with? People who are Patreon subscribers of the Cultural Hall. You can become one. You can go to patreon.com/theCultural Hall. I know both of you guys are, right?
There.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a second job just so I can send it your way.
Yeah. It's, that $1 to $3 or $5
yeah, exactly.
a month is pretty
hey,
spendy. I know. Listen. I'm basically Netflix for your ear holes. the thing that's interesting about doing that is trying to give privileges to those people within Patreon. Does Leading Saints have a Patreon?
Well, we're a nonprofit, so we just do donations.
So everything is Patreon.
Right, everything is. But then we have a core leader library, so if you're a subscribing donor, you get a bunch of extra content.
Cool.
Things,
yeah. So like we've done different stuff for people that are Patreon subscribers, like you get episodes early.
Uh-huh.
I did this fairly recently, gave a big list of like all the episodes that I'd already pre-recorded. Hey, who wants to listen to whatever? Send them out as far as that goes.
It was fun just to see what was coming up too.
Yeah,
I think you should do that more.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I will.
Feedback.
I also got to sit down at a piano with Paul Cardall the other day,
and he just
recorded a little bit of a song for everyone. You don't get that here in this feed.
Is the article of news transition? Is that what he recorded? Oh, you missed it.
You haven't seen the video yet? It's a minute of... I said, Paul, play something. Oh. And he's like, what am I, your piano monkey? And I was like, yes, please. And so he sat down and played something on the piano for me.
Nice.
But I should have asked for a...
Yeah, you can mix it up.
I'll ask him. He'll do it for me.
Yeah, he will.
He's a huge fan. Not of me or of the show.
But if
he's... That doesn't mean he's listening right now.
No,
but...
no, absolutely not. Never has listened, even though I've interviewed him before. Annette, what's new with you?
There's actually a family announcement I can't make quite yet, but soon I'm excited about.
Congratulations, another child.
No.
Good for you.
Yeah, my youngest is 17. No.
If you're a Patreon, you'll find out.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh, yeah. Tell people in Patreon.
Oh, well, maybe I could do that.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, exciting stuff. No, it's been just crazy time, you know, holidays and all that fun stuff.
And your daughter getting home from a mission relatively recently, right?
Yeah, and she had a, I've actually been in the hospital with family members twice in the last couple of weeks.
Oh. Oh,
nothing, you know, for her it was a diagnostic in and out thing, and then my dad's just getting a little older, and that's I'm not cool with that.
Yeah.
But while I was in the hospital with my daughter waiting, I did my first time ever fixing a typo in the wild. There was a sign, and
wait. Say that, fixing a typo.
A
in
typo.
The
you know,
call
like,
that vandalism.
Yeah. So it's my vigilante, you know, editor thing going on. It was in the hospital, and it's this sign, and it was just laminated, so it wasn't like a really expensive sign, but it had a stray apostrophe. It's supposed to be a plural, and it had an apostrophe S.
Uh-huh.
So when no one was looking, and I had my work bag with me, it has my laptop and all
You've
these things, including some
right
whiteout,
now.
A little whiteout tape. So I just attached a tiny bit of whiteout tape.
Ooh, thug life.
So yeah, I'm like, when nobody was noticing, I'm like, okay, I actually posted it to Instagram. If anyone wants to see it, little vandalism.
If she gets carted away during this episode,
we'll know
you'll know what happened.
So that's my big rebellion. Seriously, I mean, that's how rebellious I get in this
Good
life.
For you.
Yeah.
Good for you. And you mentioned editor, but also author of many books. Where can people find all that stuff about you?
Amazon's the easiest place. I used to have a bunch of stuff in Desert Book and Siegel, but it's less often you can find it now. So I've done more through Amazon. But the newest one is I'm in an anthology of Victorian sweet romance stuff. It's called A Note of Change, and it's finally up for pre-order.
Cool.
Gorgeous cover. And it'll be out on February 25th. So you can go on Amazon and look for that.
Pre-order it for Valentine's Day for that loved one. Don't know where to get them? Get them in an anthology? I don't know what my wife would do if I bought her an anthology. I'd be like, I bought you an anthology. And she's like, who told you to do that? Because I know you didn't think of that yourself.
Well, it's, you know, it's just, it's three awesome stories of romances. That's what it is.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So there's three of us. You know, and they're all on the same the theme of A Note of Change. There's a message.
Be candid. Is yours the best?
I haven't read the other ones yet.
Okay, so yes,
so
it is.
But you know, I'm actually really proud of this one.
Cool.
I really am. But yeah, and so all of them have to deal with a surprise message that changes things.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. And Kurt, what's the latest for you? You guys do those big like workshops or
virtual
endeavors.
Summits.
Summits is the word I was looking for.
Yeah, we're always working on one. Now, right now, we're doing. You'll appreciate this one because you alluded to it in the episode that we just recorded. Which I guess I should mention first. We just recorded an episode with Richie T.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be. Probably, if not the next, the one after that episode on
Leading Saints. Right, so you can find that. Leading Saints, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. And then the next virtual summit is Meetings with Saints.
Okay.
So we're talking all things meetings, the science of meetings, how to run a meeting.
Oh, my gosh.
How to do a one-to-one interview.
Oh, yes.
We're jumping into that world. And I've already recorded six or seven of the interviews, and it's going to be good.
Are they people that know what they're talking about?
Oh, yeah. Like PhD, like literally people who describe themselves as a meeting scientist.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can we make this part of general conference then? Like, we're just going to
take
a session.
In lieu of general conference.
We talked about how this general conference is going to be completely different.
Yeah.
Roll tape. And the first session is just these PhDs that are like, hey, let's talk about meetings, guys. Let's
lock the doors. We're talking meetings.
When and how do people consume that?
Right now, I don't have a link set yet. Yeah, but if you go to leadingsaints.org/subscribe and put your email in, that you'll definitely hear about it. But I'm shooting for mid-February. We'll launch that, and there'll be 20 sessions of 20 different people talking about how to improve meetings. So definitely a good recommendation for a local leader in your life.
So I have to tell you guys this. A previous episode I did with Jane Clayson Johnson. She has the book Silent Souls Weeping, which is all about mental illness.
Fantastic.
She's amazing. She's been on this show now a couple times. And if you are a longer time listener of the Cultural Hall, you'll remember the story that I told about when I taught Elders Quorum a couple of months ago, where we do this phenomenal lesson about mental illness. And then right at the end, this guy raises his hand and says, well, I think y'all are a bunch of idiots. I think you need to stop focusing on yourself and you need to start focusing on other people. And that'll be what helps your mental illness. And then you could hear the spirit just go, wah! And run out of the room and be like, right? So you don't hear this in the episode that I did with Jane Clayson Johnson. It's episode 366, if you want to check it out. It's last week's. At the end, I get done with her, and I say, I have to tell you this story from within the church. And I tell her a story about this guy and what happens within the lesson. And she says, would you send me his name and address?
Oh, my goodness.
And I said,
I'm going to toilet paper his house.
And she's, next time I'm in town, I'm going to. And I was like, she's like, I would love to just send him a quick little note and send him a copy of my book. And and I was like, should I do this? Is this a smart yes? And so before I, had the opportunity to think better or different about it, I sent her the address, and she sent me a little screenshot of the book and the signature and the little note within the book. And so I was like, yeah, because you know how things will change when we say something. Now I probably could have gone up to him and been like, hey,
right,
like maybe let's do this a little differently next time, or be sensitive to other people, but that seems very aggressive. This seems right into with my passive aggression to send a book. But I genuinely hope he reads it. That book is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah,
it's available now in paperback, which is why we had her on the show. And we're not perfect about talking about mental illness yet, which is another great thing. If you haven't listened to that one, it's episode 366, and you can check it out in the previously published diary.
Does that brother seem a little more humble while you're on church?
Well, he would have just kind of probably gotten it within the last week or so. Yeah, right. We'll see. I'm looking forward to, and I would would be par for the course. Who is it in this class that had me get a book sent by this woman?
That's what I was going to ask, if he knew
He does not know that it came by way of me. He
I just see Richie like in the hall next to me like, so, been reading anything lately? Yeah. Like,
mental illness?
I mean, is there anything you wanted to change your mind, change your heart, or anything like
that's
that?
That's actually great, though, because the only way people can learn is to change, is to be more educated and learn more. So for Jane doing that.
Yeah. And having discussions about it. Yeah. Let's take a break for a quick second. And when we come back, we're going to do actual articles of news.
Hey, this is Jake the Computer Boy. Whoops, I meant Computer Guy from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City. You haven't heard me on the radio doing commercials in a long time because I've been learning all the ins and outs of PC Laptops, the company my dad, Dan the Laptop Man, started 21 years ago. I've been working at our corporate headquarters designing and building new computers for you. I design and hand build the new PC Laptops S1 desktop, and it's just $799 with a lifetime warranty. Each one is built to perfection, blazing fast and beautiful, and backed forever with a rock-solid lifetime warranty. And it's only $7.99.
Thanks, Jake. I love you, son. Dan the Laptop Man here. To make it impossible to resist, we're doing 12-month special financing on any PC Laptops desktop or laptop computer. Have I lost my mind? Call us at 1-877-596-7283 for details, or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com, where we love you!
I want to take a quick second and talk to you about Best DJ in Utah, now in its second year. Last year, I went to Washington, to Roche Harbor, and did a gorgeous wedding. This year, I'm slated to go to Moab, to go to Denver to do weddings. And guys, it couldn't be going any better. Thanks, in large part, to folks like yourself, people who are listening to this and say, you know what, I need a wedding or a mobile DJ for something, and then reach out to me. You can go to bestdjinutah.com. You can find me on all of the social medias at Richie T. Stedman, or you can certainly just send me a an email, Richie, R-I-C-H-I-E-T as in tough guy, Stedman, S-T-E-A-D-M-A-N at gmail.com. I would love to see what I could do to make your event that much better. Whether it's a party or the biggest day of your life, you need the best DJ in Utah. And like I said, it doesn't have to be in Utah. It can just be the best DJ in Utah. I don't know. Now we start to get into like the technical things. It's bestdjinutah.com.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
You can't lose Articles of News.
It's time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual articles of news. Hit it, Peter. And away we go. Remember that for most of these stories, you can find links to them if you follow us on Twitter or you follow us on Facebook. We post most of these stories, which we'll talk about today. You can also follow us on Instagram. It's at the Cultural Hall in all these places. We're also on Pinterest as well, or just like the OGs did, you can go to theculturalhall.com and find the link to none of these articles. So there's that. Which one of you guys wants to go first? We're going to let Annette
go first.
It looks like.
This actually just came out today with Jana Rice.
Jana Reese.
Yep. She's been a former guest of the Cultural Hall. She writes for the Religion News Service. So in a recent article of news, you guys went through the top stories that she wrote of 2019 mm-hmm. regarding the church. And now she had one of three glass half full news items about, she says, I'm quoting her, Mormon growth. But, you know, Latter-day Saint growth, whatever.
So these are stories that are like, hey, I mean, it's not, we're not there yet, but man,
yeah,
I'm encouraged
like actually,
by this.
Okay. I was actually, knowing how sometimes you can be a little on the critical side, this is actually uplifting to me.
Cool.
So the first is we have an increase in missionaries, and she goes into, you know, when the missionary age was lowered in 2012, that was we had this double boost of missionaries, and mm-hmm. of course that came back down again. But
not to the levels that it was
right before.
Before they changed it. I think there was like 39,000 when I served, and now I mm-hmm. want to say there's like 55 to 58.
According to her, 68.
Oh, cool.
As of 2019. Wow. Yeah.
We got the Christmas boost.
And that was a 4% increase over the previous year, which was 65,000.
Cool.
So she says the way to explain that then is that like the next generation is serving missions at a higher rate than the previous generation, which I thought was kind of cool. So more information.
And a lot more will serve once we change the format in general conference about how missions go. Do you think so?
I don't know what to expect from President Nelson. It's like one thing after another, but it's
exciting. And we'll talk about a couple of those things today, but for sure, I think something within the mission format on
probably,
its way.
Yeah. Then the number two was a higher activity rate. That there's, you know, we have one of her things from, you know, top of 2019 was that the growth is slowing, mm-hmm. but she says that here the actual activity is going up. So we're like reactivating people. And so you can actually see that in specific areas, like where the church can say, well, we have had this many baptized members, in Samoa. But then how many do they report on their own census? Do they identify? And that number has significantly jumped all of a sudden.
Interesting.
So
anyway,
they list a whole bunch of countries where you can see this massive increase of activity, not baptisms, but activity, which is
cool.
Frankly, I mean, that's almost is more important at this point. Let's keep the souls here then not just keep finding more. And then the third one is more temples. And some of them are in places, of course, with increased growth. And others are just, there's no recent growth, but they've been faithful, and like Okinawa, Japan, they've actually gone from two stakes down to one, but you're faithful and here's a temple. So so those are the three things, the temples, activity rate, and more missionaries, which I think is kind of cool.
I think one of those segues into a story, I'm not sure if you have it, Kurt, about the new temple, the plans.
India?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the church release renderings and location of First Latter-day Saint Temple in India, and it is, obviously, it's hard to see on a podcast, but it is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Definitely worth sharing on
and unique in vision, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it's encouraging, especially when we went through that huge temple boost in the early 2000s with President Hinckley. It seemed like we just had cookie cutter, you know, models just going up all
that
over.
That looks like Alaska.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
where is that? France. What? Okay.
Yeah. So it's cool to see just the uniqueness and just almost looks like a Hong Kong-esque design with the...
A little boxy, right?
Yeah.
So more Asian inspired.
Yeah.
Which I love so much. Like even the one, was it recently Connecticut or what was the one in the eastern states that, recently got built? Virginia, where it looks very Virginia-y.
Oh, yeah.
Or
Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philadelphia looks...
Yeah, it looks like the founding fathers built that.
Yeah. If you've never, have you ever been there before? It's unreal. It's also a little weird that the visitor center was completely open when I was there, and I went through and like walked around and went to the bathroom and was in there for like 25 minutes, and no one came and said hello to me. A little weird.
Like missionaries, come on.
Yeah, like anyone, like I was trying to be a little suspicious looking so that if someone was looking on a camera, they would come out and say hello. No one did, but it does look like, you know, like Benjamin Franklin, he put the cornerstone here and then they built it later.
Cool.
Like it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Kurt Frankum of Leading Saints.
Yes,
this is just sort of a theory thing. As a leader, are you currently a bishop?
No.
You were.
I was, and I was in a stake presidency.
Okay.
I'm a priest quorum advisor, to be specific.
But so you have certainly a track record of leadership. I have a question for you, and I don't think that there's a right or a wrong answer, but a personal philosophy, and I'm sort of curious about it. Like members on the record, and this is where this kind of got spurred in my mind from, was we seem to be more active. So say you had a ward record of 100 people for the sake of math,
okay,
right? If 10 of those people want nothing to do with the church ever, like your do not contacts or DNCs, as sometimes wards call them, would you rather that those 10 people take their names off of the church? And then you just are able to focus as far as that goes with those 90 names? Or are you like, let's have them there and that's fine?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you how I handled it as a bishop. You know, obviously I would never, and I've heard this happen where, you know, you approach people just for the record's sake, like, hey, we're trying to clean things up. Would you mind just removing your eternal ordinances so that our administration's easier to do?
It almost seems a little callous.
Right, exactly. So, you know, we would obviously mark people that, you know, I remember knocking on one guy's door and I said, you know, I'm the bishop. And he sort of looked at me like, don't you ever come back here. And I basically said, do you not want contact? And he's like, yeah, that I'm really not interested, or rather have you not contact. So I'd take that back and we'd note that on the record. But I'd always tell my counselors and the organizational leaders that if you are a baptized member, like we're at least going to knock on your door once a year. Like,
interesting.
Because...
Even if they've expressly said, please don't contact
me. And it's going to be the bishop or a counselor, right? We're not just going to send any member. Because I just feel like we can't, sure, we can respect them, but if they're on the records, I mean, we're going to reach out in a non-threatening way.
Yeah.
Hey, just checking in, how you doing? Even as a neighbor, right? And so, but never would I, and I would almost think it was discouraged that a leader would go over and almost try to stimulate them to remove their name from the records.
So let me take the opposite approach, because I in one of the areas that I served in on my mission, it was a ward of like 700 people of record, and in attendance we had 70, right? Overwhelming to say the least. And the bishop of that particular congregation was like, let's go tell people about, you know, if they want to have their names removed, how they can do it. And I remember my companion was not having it, very angry. And to me, I just was like, well, I do what God asked me to do. So I guess the bishop asked me to do that. That's good enough for God for me. Let's do it. And his thing was, you know, if you believe that when you are baptized, that you enter into covenants and you have a lifelong track record of not keeping covenants, like the ability or the opportunity to be released from said covenants before judgment day, he sort of said, well, that seems to be worth it for him.
And I guess I see what he's saying, but at the same time, it's like, I mean, we're baptizing people by proxy, you know, that have passed on, regardless if they're joining it, the covenants are there. And so at some point we're going to make that opportunity there. And so I would almost imagine after this life, they'll get to the recorder's desk or whatever it is and be like, oh, actually you were already baptized. And so here's your next step. Right. And where I don't think for that person, that individual, I mean, I guess if the word's really bugging them and it's becoming a nuisance, it's not bothering them to have their name on a record somewhere.
Sure.
So why don't we just maintain that ordinance, because it's not hurting them, even though they're not keeping that covenant. That's what the gospel is about, is repentance. And it's there for when they decide to come back. So
I don't know. Oh, go ahead, please.
Just a mild two bits here. I know enough people who have had brought into the church or whatnot because their parents had been on, you know, had been baptized,
and so
the child was on the rolls, and they were reached out to by a youth leader when they were 12, and now they grew up and they grew up and raised their children in the church and that kind of thing. I have a really good friend who served his mission on a Navajo reservation, and he said that his first mission president was very big about just baptism numbers, 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 more
right.
baptisms.
Right. We'll retain more if we baptize more.
And it was so frustrating because he said the culture in that particular area was such that, you know, for generations it would have been tell the white man yes and then he'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they'd get baptized and just expect you to leave. And so retention was just horrible. Whereas his second mission president said, we need to go find our lost sheep.
Yeah.
So he said, didn't have baptisms during that second part of his mission. He goes, but I actually felt like I was changing lives and bringing people to Christ. So I think every situation's a little different.
Sure.
But
I
think I'd be with Kurt on this one.
And there are circumstances like the baseball baptisms and things like that where something completely inappropriate's happened that just to get numbers. And
for people who don't know the baseball baptisms, it's like, let's go play baseball. But first we have to go by this building and be able to be baptized. And now you can come play baseball.
Yeah. It was back in the 60s that things like that happened where
legitimately happened.
Right. And that's apostles horrible. Went there and cleaned things up. But for the most part, I tell you, just give it time. And there's no reason to remove them just for record's sake, I think.
Interesting. I would be curious as to other people's thoughts. You can always send us an email, contact@theculturalhall.com. Share those episodes or those emails in a future episode of The Cultural Hall. Kurt, you're from Leading Saints. I want to talk real quickly about another podcast. I'm not sure if you have checked this out yet. There's actually two, because I don't think that I recommended this in the last Articles of News episode that we did, but maybe I had. The Joseph Smith Papers and the First Vision. If you guys have not, have either of you listened to it?
I haven't yet.
I've listened to all but two episodes of the First Vision.
It's just basically the folks from the Joseph Smith Papers really breaking down all of the stuff around the First Vision. So you're thinking like, well, what isn't it? Joseph goes into the grove and prays and sees God the Father and Jesus Christ. Well, you'd think, but it also, like, it talks about the religious fervor of the time. So it's almost a line by line, like, let's talk about what religious fervor at the time would have been like. Why are there different accounts of the First Vision?
Yeah.
What,
there's one aspect where it talks about how we see Joseph as his question was which church to join, right?
Right.
But his questioning began long before that, where it talks about how he was much more concerned early on about just his own salvation and wrestling with that. So there were many questions that led to that Sacred Grove moment.
Right. So it's pretty cool. You can check that out. And spoiler that I haven't even told the Patreon people that I'll tell everyone now. Joseph Smith Papers, future episode of The Cultural Hall.
Nice.
So pretty excited with that. Going to do actually a few of them as we do the upcoming Church History Tour episodes as well. So there's that. I think it's called First Vision, The First Vision, Joseph Smith Papers.
Yeah.
Something, search that in wherever you're getting your podcast.
I listened through Pocket Cast, and it was a little bit harder to find it that way, but so it may take some effort.
I found it in Google really easy.
Oh, good.
I think I put Joseph Smith Papers, and most people are like, Google? What? Why wouldn't you just go through iTunes or Apple Podcasts? Go that way. You'll find it.
Yeah.
There's a second one, and this is sort of church adjacent. There are a lot of characters within this that are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but it's worth a listen. It's called Zion's Suffragists. So the early members of the church here in the state of Utah or territory of Utah had a considerable amount to do with women receiving the right to vote. And so you can hear the history of some of these women as they pushed for those rights for women. It's called Zion Suffragists. Just put Zion and then do your best to spell suffragists and you'll find it.
They need a new marketing guy.
It's a well-produced, horribly named podcast. And that's from the folks at Deseret News, too, if you want to know the source on this. What else do you have, Curtis?
Well, Elder Cook recently went to the Philippines. He's been touring and visiting and even visited some of the area that was impacted by the volcano. But it's Elder Quintinel Cook of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Such a mouthful.
Met the Philippines President Rodrigo Roa Duarte Wednesday, January 15th, for a 35-minute courtesy visit. And Elder Cook said, the visit was exceptional. He was warm and gracious. And our people are always always support and sustain and pray for those who are leaders of nations, and we want him to know that our people did that as well. So, which you may not know this, but from what I understand, I have a sister-in-law who's Filipino, and the Filipino president is kind of a rough president. Maybe some would relate him to our current president.
Really?
Just as far as, like, he's been really hard on crime, like really lowering the, and again, this, I may be wrong here, but.
This is secondhand information. Yeah. So if it's incorrect, we could just go. Oh,
I learned this
correct.
On Facebook, yeah. So take it for what it is. But like, you know, if you kill a drug dealer, like, oh, that's okay. You know, like, really, really tough, but which is cleaned up a lot of the crime, but maybe not in the best way possible. So I think just that statement of, you know, we should support our leaders regardless of, obviously, if he was a tyrant, dictator, maybe the church probably wouldn't be visiting that. But anyways, I'm tying myself in knots.
No, you're fine. He also dropped off a check, gave him like $120,000, something like that, as part of his visit. Interesting to note, how many members of the church would you suppose are in the Philippines?
Well, I have the answer right here, so I won't guess.
Oh. Annette, how many members of the church would you suppose? This is as of July 2019. Is that what your statistics are?
Uh-huh, I think so.
Uh-huh. Okay.
20,000. I have no idea.
20,000. Come on. What? There's like 100 temples in the Philippines.
It's a small area. I don't know how many.
Okay, so there are 107 stakes.
Oh, wow.
There are 68 districts.
Whoa.
1,227 congregations, 22 missions, 2 operating temples, 5 additional temples that have been announced.
Oh, gosh.
And
I'm
how
way
many,
off.
And how many members? 785,164. Isn't that crazy?
Holy cow, that's a ton.
Now, granted, there are also millions and millions and millions of people in the Philippines. But
still, right. We have, I mean, that's a pretty good proportion of
three-quarter
church
of a
membership.
Million.
That's
We will probably witness a Filipino apostle in our lifetime.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
yeah.
Easy,
sure.
You know.
Very likely.
And why haven't we yet?
I know. I'm glad you got to that. Let's get to that, Richie.
We have 2 minority ones. It's awesome. It's awesome. So we can just be happy with
We're
that.
We're getting
right?
there. We're and getting there. You know, Suarez not being a Utah white guy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Well, and then my brain is just.
Elder Gong.
Thank
is that
you, Elder Gong. Yes. Yeah. Yes. But some people are like, oh, he's not. He's American. He doesn't count. Well, he's Asian American. So
right.
he's
so we'll
still
take
a minority.
It.
It's
Come
a
on.
Step.
Let's celebrate.
Yeah. It's yeah. It is a half full story. Where were you on that one, Jana? What else you got?
Well, there's an announcement. This is January 17th from the First Presidency. So there's been some adjustments in temple ceremonial clothing.
Oh, yeah. I just saw this today.
Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating. But
And
for those that don't know about this.
There isn't a whole lot that's changing, but it's in the way they explain it. There's just frequently asked questions attached to it. So I'll just read some of that. It says, so why is the design being changed? The adjustments to the temple ceremony clothing are intended to make the temple experience more simple, comfortable, and accessible. The adjusted ceremonial clothing is easier to put on, care for, and afford. The adjustments do not change temple symbolism or doctrine. And most of it actually seems more related to men than to women, dealing with the cap and that kind of stuff. But it's some of the clothing or the fabric will be a little more durable, so it'll last longer. So to replace it as often, that kind of thing. So it's one of those things that's just simplifying and makes you go, yeah.
One of the things that I found fascinating about it is, like, as I was reading the story, I was like, are we okay to, we must be. The church put it out. It's okay.
Right.
And one of the takeaways, and I want everyone to know that that I only talk about this because I, like, hallelujah for the change. But you know the plastic insert in the hats?
Yeah.
And that is going
out
in there?
That's gone.
It's going away. And I forever have just... Like as a part of temple worship, and I want everyone to know because I don't.
Right.
First of all, I don't need the emails of how could you disrespect something like that, and I'm not being disrespectful. It has for a long time been a thing for me where I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that that's gone and durable. And people will ask, well, do I need to buy all new temple clothes?
And the answer is no.
No.
And you can even if you recently bought it, you can exchange up until like June or something for the new ones.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can exchange it. Yep.
But you can still wear that beautiful white jumpsuit they wear to the temple.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the old man that zips that thing up.
Amen. Do you have a temple bag?
Uh huh. Yeah.
Do you have a temple bag?
I do. Yep.
So I'm going to get a picture. Cause it's been a little while since I've been to the temple. That's none of your business, but we'll get there.
Why, Richie? Tell us why. Yeah,
well, what happened was, I was angry, if we want to be quite frank, but to the point where now I'm going to go back. But my temple bag is my grandma's temple bag.
Oh, nice.
And it is the coolest bag ever. Think like a turn of the 1969 into 70, 71 colors and floral patterns.
So it's quite feminine.
So it looks like a couch.
But you just own it or what?
No, it is awesome. Yeah, I just own it. Nice. And the sweet part is when I got it after she passed away, some of her temple clothes are still in there. Mm. And so it's
and you just keep them in there.
Yeah, it's just super sweet. It's just
kind of take your spirit with you.
Yeah,
really cool.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting you mentioned that because my grandpa just passed away. He was 93 93, 94 this past year. And so we were divvying up his stuff, and I found an old, his old like briefcase. You know, it's just like this old brown business briefcase. And so I use that now. And I just, I think it's nice to sort of take a memento to the temple with
you. For sure. This story I thought was kind of interesting. You guys are familiar with the Marine Corps, Semper Fi.
Absolutely.
Hoorah, right? All the things. Did you guys see this story?
I did
not.
This
was great. So the Marine Corps Recruit Depot of San Diego, they have a Facebook page. And that's great. And you're thinking, what does this possibly have to do with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Well, the other day, what happened was, is for some reason, the title of the Facebook page, you know, like you have the Leading Saints Facebook page, we have the Cultural Hall. Right. Instead of it being the Cultural Hall, somehow it got changed to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, here's the deal.
Just randomly. Some admin went crazy.
Yeah, I don't think it was even that.
It was probably a
mess up within Facebook. They, you know, the people who have access and ability to change it, I think it is someone who is a member of the church, but he, you know, he says, nah, this isn't a thing that I did. And so they had to do, obviously, the post that's like, all right, everyone, we don't know why this says the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but we just need you to know that it's still the Marine Corps Recruit Department or Recruit Depot. Don't mind the title. Continue about your business. So they're trying to figure out what it is exactly. And my favorite part, it says, no reasons have been provided as to how or why the switch occurred. Additionally, the Facebook page moderator initially appeared to be unable to reverse the account's religious conversion. The page appears to have since been suspended, at least until it excommunicates itself from the Mormon Church. So I appreciated that they had that as part of it. What else do you have, Curtis? And by the way, everyone, it's not really Curtis. It's what I call him.
That's right. It's our special thing.
Yeah.
You know.
His real name's Kurt.
That's right.
What's the middle name again?
Harold.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Go by Kurt.
That's right. So you're Richard T. Stedman.
Yeah.
I'm K. Harold Franklin.
Yeah.
That's my general authority name.
But see, I could be R. Thomas as an apostle, and then you're A. Luthy Lyon is the way to go there.
Ooh.
Sure.
Because Annette L. Lyon.
Yeah, people have asked why, you know, like I have friends who use their middle initial or their maiden name initial, whatever, on their books. Uh-huh. And I'm like, no, because Annette L. Lyon is like, no, that's a mouthful.
It is.
Annette Lyon, we're good.
So the according to Peggy Fletcher Stack, our friend, Richie.
Have you read her on Leading Saints?
I haven't.
Okay. She's an interesting person.
Yeah.
When you try and get her to say anything that is personally her opinion, she won't. She's a phenomenal journalist that way.
Right, right. So the LDS Church issues new statement on feminism. Okay. So
this was the story, non-story kind of story?
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah. So a four-paragraph, 224-word piece published in this month's New Era, an official magazine for Latter-day Saint youth, addresses the question, what is the church's stance on feminism?
Will you tell us?
Well,
dun, dun, dun.
It opens with a declaration that all people are children of heavenly parents.
Okay, I agree so far.
Okay. Gender is an important part of who we are,
okay,
both before, during, and after this life. The unsigned essay states, men and women are equal. One is not superior to the other. The church position is also insists that equality does not imply sameness. So it goes on to everything from no longer an F word, as Peggy says. This is a good and helpful statement.
Because for a long time within the church, you said feminism, and it was like, ooh.
Yeah, and I think that those connotations, it's hard to make them go away. I mean, I think everybody has a different opinion.
There was a segment of people that it was the toxic brand of feminism as well. So it's like, well, I'm not one of those feminists.
Sure, sure. So, yeah. And certainly a time too, right? Yeah. Feminism, as I air quote it, of the 70s or 80s within the church is far different than feminism within the church in, you know, 2020.
Yeah. Well,
absolutely.
So Peggy talks with various experts and about what this means as far as sometimes this word can be weaponized and how we can maybe get past this and create a healthier dialogue around this concept.
So hopefully extending a little love to those who would characterize themselves as feminists within the church.
Right.
Cool. What else you got, Annette?
So this one is it's Utah-centric, but it's to me it's an important story, or funny in some ways, because you can tell that it's the conservative local values of the church.
Yeah.
The Utah Health Department had
You're taking a trip to Utah. She prefaced it. Let me just reemphasize it.
This is very much a Utah story. So So the Utah Health Department was, they had this great campaign going.
Should we say that this is a little adult oriented?
I'll say just check out the links. You can see the specifics. Okay. I won't go into details here, but so HIVandMe.com, and they have billboards and TV and radio commercials. And as part of that, they did have these special,
prophylactics or condoms.
Yes, condoms. And they were.
I didn't know for.
I'm blushing.
Sidebar. For the longest time, I didn't know what a prophylactic was. I was like, what even is that? And they're like, it's a condom. I was like, all right.
Gotcha. But they were handing them out, and they had little, very Utah-centric, kind of funny little quips, which frankly I thought was brilliant branding.
Sure.
People then want to use, you know, just pass them out and whatnot. You'll have to follow the link to see them. I won't. Some of them were very adult, but
maybe not during Sunday school.
Yeah.
And they're not horrible. When your kids are in the car listening to the
giggle.
Cultural Hall. But yeah. The governor, who generally speaking, I love our governor. He's done a lot of things right, but he shut it down. So he said, no, you can't be handing them out, and he shut down the branded condoms.
And it's worth noting that he's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So that's the association to the story. But it's also like. If ever there were a thing that like Utah, I feel like, is known for, or the church, it's two things. One, we're being clever. And two, did anyone think to have someone else look at this?
Yeah.
Okay. And now we can't do it anymore. Okay.
Okay.
Now we have tens of thousands of these that.
And props to whoever the company is that goes, hey, this is a great idea. We'll take those off of your hands and be responsible for the message and or distribution. And if someone doesn't, that is a missed
opportunity.
And
frankly, I thought they're really clever. They really are.
Do you have any other stories, Curtis?
Not really. I'll give another reference to Peggy. I enjoy her Mormon Land podcast, which you interviewed.
Jeez, what are we giving people a million excuses to go somewhere else today? No, it's really good.
Yeah, it is good.
Her episode with Michael Quinn about the finances of the church.
Did you mention that last time?
I can't remember. Anyways. But I was going to say, like, sometimes because it's the Salt Lake Tribune or because it's Peggy, we were like, they're always
looking for an angle, right?
Yeah, and in some of her questions, and I love her dearly, because she has a familial connection with my family. That was redundant, sorry. But when I listen to her ask questions, sometimes I'm like, a little less pointed, Peg.
Yeah, exactly.
A little less pointed.
I feel the same way.
But the Michael Quinn talking about the finances of the church, you probably think it's going to be someone being like, I can't believe they'd have $100 billion, boop-a-doo-da-doo. It's a really
it's a good listen.
Great episode.
Yeah.
Is that all you were going to talk
about? Yeah, I was just going to give a shout-out to that episode. It's worth a listen, especially because it is hard sometimes to hear. I saw this meme online of, you know, the Christopher Farley sketch where he'd interview somebody and say, oh, that was awesome.
Yeah. Right?
So it's Christopher Farley interviewing President Nelson. He said, remember that time you told everybody that we needed to we couldn't hire any more janitors because of cost savings.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Anyways, so it's easy to think like, wow, we got $100 billion. Like, let's do some things or make some changes. But the way he, frames it, and as far as running an organization like this and the expenses and the research he's done, you sort of walk away like, oh, well, we have a lot of money, but I'm glad we have it. It could go quick if something turns upside down.
Sure. You know? And the history of how it came to be where we went from nearly collapsing to where we're at now is just sort of a fascinating financial history, too.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Annette,
what
do you got?
Just a couple of quick entertainment things.
Hit me.
One was Billboard's top rock songs of last decade.
Mm-hmm.
The top four have LDS Church connections because the top three are Imagine Dragons, Believer, Thunder, and Radioactive.
Uh-huh.
And number four is Panic of the Disco's High Hopes.
Well, because Brendan Urie, technically, I think still a member of the church.
Well, and former guest of the Cultural Hall.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. And then the other one was...
now I'm looking to see if there's any other ones that might be on there that
none
we don't consider.
None that I were aware of.
Disco Luminers, 21 Pounds, Walk the Moon. Nope, okay.
Nope, yeah.
It's a great list of songs.
Yeah,
man.
Right. So then there's this TV show called The Expanse. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's a little weird. And
perfect.
It was originally on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, good. So it's totally up my alley.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is so bizarre. So it had a couple of seasons, and then it was canceled just before airing the third season.
Uh-huh.
And then Amazon picked it up, and fans went crazy saying, no, please bring it back. So now it's back, and the fifth season just landed on Amazon. So you can watch them all there, I think. So here's the thing. It's a science fiction thing, and the spaceship and whatever. The spaceship is, let me show you a picture.
The USS Nelson.
The LDSS Nauvoo.
Oh, interesting.
This, okay, I'll show you the badge. This is the badge that everybody wears.
Oh, my gosh. That's cool.
There's your t-shirt, Richie.
You awesome.
That's branded, but yeah. And then it says Ether 1233
which
on
is?
There, which is, it has a line in there about God preparing a place for his children or something like that. It is seriously a bizarre thing. So the spaceship looks like a temple on its side, like a round cylindrical temple on its side with a spire. And the tip of the spire used to have a Moroni on it.
Hmm.
I mean, just go look it up. Watch the show.
So this was on a game show?
No, this is
a TV show.
Oh.
It was on the Sci-Fi Channel, canceled, and then brought back by Amazon. So you can now watch it, all five seasons on Amazon now.
Wow.
It is called The Expanse, and they have reference to the church all over the place. And there's one like on the bridge. There's this mural behind the captain and whatnot, and it looks like the statue in Nauvoo of Hiram and Joseph on the horses. At one point, they had a missionary wearing, you know, a tag. He didn't have a companion, which a lot of members of the church were like, yo, but he's still wearing the uniform. And they have all kinds of, there's one, someone has their office, and it looks like a ceiling room. So it's like, okay, so was the spaceship like a revamped temple then? I mean, it's the most bizarre thing ever.
It's like the Planet of the Apes thing.
Seriously,
like,
it is so weird.
They took the temples and made them
spaceships.
And
I don't know what the connection is between the creators and then the church.
That's
but
what I'm trying to quickly find out.
It
and
is one of the weirdest things ever. So the Times and Seasons blog did a whole little review that you can go look and
it's set check 200 that years in the future.
Yeah.
This is the thing that for me that I go, okay, great. I just
well,
can't
Star
connect.
Trek and but, stuff, it's great, sure. But it's, I, oh, it's weird. Yeah.
And you like it or just it's weird?
I find it weird. Okay. So when my husband first discovered it, he's like, check this out. And it's just this spaceship with a Moroni at the tip of it. And I'm like, what the heck is this? And I just thought it was weird and laughed.
Sure.
Well, he just recently discovered it on Amazon again. And now he's watching it and he's laughing. He thinks it's hilarious. But I'm just like, I walk through the room and go, I don't get it.
But not intended to be funny.
I don't, I'm not entirely sure what, it seems like it's a serious sci-fi show. I don't, it's, so
called
I don't know.
Expanse.
Anyone else has The Expanse on Amazon. So someone, yeah, watch it and let us know what you think. It's a funky looking kind of thing.
Perfect. Oh, I love it. If you're watching The Bachelor, I think the woman that was raised in Mormon culture is still on The Bachelor, so you can check that out. And I heard this has nothing sort of Mormon related, but in the waning moments since you gave us a horrible recommendation for a TV show that sounds miserable, there's an Amazon Prime movie called Troop Zero. Hmm. It's a great for your family kind of things. It's an oddball scout troop that they can't get kind of backed by anyone, and so they get all the misfits in the area together, and they form Troop Zero because all the other numbers had been taken. It's rated PG, and it's like Viola Davis is in it.
Oh,
she's
wow.
I think the scout master or something like that. It's supposed to be a good romp, and I heard about that this morning. You can find all the links to these stories at theculturalhall.com. Again, reach out to us about anything that you heard, or if you have guest suggestions for the future, or if you like this. I miss doing articles of news with a couple people.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kyle. We're going to have to find someone else to join our mandate every couple of weeks, and I hope you guys will come back as well. We hope this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope that if you weren't healthy enough to listen this week, you'll be healthy enough to listen next week.
And we hope you always remember your favorite host, even Richie T. Stedman.
Even. The Richard T. Stedman. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be